Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. We are in day 273, which brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's a blessing to be in your word day after day. Your word is always full of truth for us, and your word has power through your Holy Spirit to change our hearts and minds, to grow us in knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and make us more like Christ. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do that work today in us through your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 22. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and ignore them. You shall take them back to your brother. And if he does not live near you, and you do not know who he is, you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall stay with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. And you shall do the same with your donkey, or with his garment, or with any lost thing of your brother's, which he loses and you find, you may not ignore it. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down by the way and ignore them. You shall help him to lift them again. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. If you come across a bird's nest in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall let the mother go, but the young you may take for yourself, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring the guilt of blood upon your house, if anyone should fall from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole yield be forfeited, the crop that you have sown, and the yield of the vineyard. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear cloth of wool and linen mixed together. You shall make for yourself tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife, and goes into her, and then hates her, and accuses her of misconduct, and brings a bad name upon her, saying, I took this woman, and when I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity, then the father of the young woman and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city and the gate. And the father of the young woman shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to marry, and he hates her. And behold, he has accused her of misconduct, saying, I did not find in your daughter evidence of virginity, and yet this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloak before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver, and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done an outrageous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a betrothed virgin, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry out for help, though she was in the city, and the man because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. But if in the open country a man meets a young woman who is betrothed, and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no offense punishable by death. For this case is like that of a man attacking and murdering his neighbor, because he met her in the open country, and though the betrothed young woman cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. If a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, so that he does not uncover his father's nakedness. This is Deuteronomy 22. So, this gets into a mixture of different laws, and why, instead of talking in terms of the moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law, I prefer to speak of the moral aspects of the law, the civil aspects of the law, and the ceremonial aspects of the law. Because while it is clear that some commandments are moral in nature, and some commandments are civil in nature, and some commandments are ceremonial in nature, and that's very true. You can probably classify, 80 or 90% of all Mosaic laws as being moral or civil or ceremonial. There are those where they overlap. And even in moral laws, there are civil and ceremonial aspects and implications of those laws. And even in civil, there are moral and ceremonial aspects, etc. So we have some mixed laws that are stated here in Deuteronomy 22. The opening section is really focused on what we might properly call social justice. And by that, we don't mean, sort of a leftist political movement of Marxist ideology. Again, this is thousands of years before Karl Marx, so this has nothing to do with any of that. But rather, it has to do with justice in society. So biblical social justice. How do you have justice within a society? Now, one of those is to say, if you find something and you know it doesn't belong to you, you should give it back to the person it belongs to. This is not finders keepers, right? This is, you found something, it doesn't belong to you, you should do your best to get it back to the person it belongs to. You find someone's wallet because they drop it on the ground, you pick it up, there's a lot of money in it. You don't just take the money for yourself and then drop the wallet in the mail to the guy or throw the wallet in the trash can or whatever. You take it and you try to get it back to whom it belongs. If you see someone putting their wallet away or putting their purse away and you see that they drop money on the ground, you should pick it up and you should give it to them. It doesn't belong to you just because they dropped it by accident, right? This second one in verse 5 gets into really a whole transgender thing. The Bible doesn't speak about transgenderism in the modern sense, because in the modern sense, that didn't exist in biblical times, because there's a whole lot of things that have to happen in a society before people start like thinking, oh, I'm not really a man, I must be a woman. There's just a whole lot of history that has to develop within a society before you get to that point. But this is cross-dressing, okay, and it's forbidden by God, because in the beginning, God created us and made us male and female. Genesis says that. Jesus said that in the Gospel of Matthew when he was asked about marriage and divorce. It's very, very clear teaching of Scripture that there are two genders, male and female. They're made by God, male and female, in the image of God. And you can't go mixing those things. So a man trying to pass himself off as a woman by putting on women's clothing, or a woman trying to pass herself off as a man by putting on man's clothing, that's not acceptable. That's an abomination to the Lord, and it ought not to be done. The bird's nest, the idea, you find a bird's nest on the ground, you just take the whole bird's nest, and no, you want the animals to be able to reproduce and to have a viable population. So you can take the young, but you leave the mother alone so that she can go on and have more young later. Build a house, put a parapet around it. Again, the idea is that you don't want to bring bloodshed, you want to be responsible, right? So all these things up to verse 8 are various aspects of what we might classify as sort of social justice or justice within society, taking responsibility, restoring lost things to people, treating animals with kindness so that you're not extinguishing whole populations. This is a biblical ethic to care for our neighbor and to care for creation. We're called to do that. We're called to love God, to love our neighbor, and to care for creation. That's biblical ethics. But there's also some ceremonial things that are in here in verses 9 to 12. This idea of sowing a vineyard with two kinds of seed, or wearing a cloth of mixed fibers, you know, or making tassels for yourself on the four corners of your garment. There's nothing inherently destructive about these practices or inherently moral about these practices. They really had to do with God's people being distinct and being His holy people and not being like the nations around them. So we wear fabric of mixed fibers all the time because it's a good way to get higher performance clothing, right? You might have cotton with a little bit of polyester in it to give it some stretch, or nylon or something like that. I don't know much about fabrics, but I know that we do wear mixed fabric clothing all the time for practical purposes. There's nothing immoral about that. Just as it wouldn't be immoral if it was a good agricultural practice to put two different kinds of seed in your field. Typically, that's not the best agricultural practice, so we should do what's responsible in those cases. Now, we have here, the last part of this chapter is a whole series of laws that deal with sexual immorality and faithlessness. And here, God is trying to set up a system where if the people of God had followed it, women would have actually been much more protected from accusation, from divorce. But the problem is that you don't find the people of God following this. In one example, verse 22, if a man's found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. Well, in the Gospel of John, in a passage that may or may not be in the original from the Gospel of John, but it clearly reflects the situation of what was going on in Israel in Jesus' day, there was a woman caught in adultery, and she was brought out to be stoned. And Jesus stopped it from happening, and he wrote in the sand. He intervened in part because they were enforcing the law of Moses in a very sexist way. Where was the man? If there's adultery happening, that takes two people, right? It takes two to tango. So if the woman's going to be stoned for adultery, where's the man? And the man wasn't there. And God is here trying to make sure that the humanity and the dignity of men and women are protected. Both men and women are capable of immorality. Both men and women are capable of being falsely accused of immorality. And so God is trying to protect. There's some unique provisions here where if a man falsely accuses his wife of not being a virgin when they got married and he's wrong, then he has to pay 100 shekels of silver to the father. That's a substantial amount of money. And he may not divorce her at all. So that's pretty strong protection against a false accusation. There's also a similar protection against exploitation of a woman if she's a virgin and she's not betrothed and a man lies with her and they're found. Well, he's got to marry her. He's got to give 50 shekels of silver to the father, and he's got to marry her. And that's the best thing for her because, you know, if she's not a virgin, you know, in this situation it seems unclear as to whether or not it was consensual. In many of these cases, like because of the social standing of the day, the social standards of the day, if two people were caught in sleeping together, caught in the act, right, the woman would always be in a position to claim that she was being forced to do this against her will because it would protect her, right, from being potentially even executed. And so it's always going to be in her best interest to lie that way. And so you may think, well, why aren't they just believing the woman? Well, because in this day and age, those kinds of things were taken very, very seriously. And so it was really, she's kind of saving her life by, if she can successfully accuse the man of violating her against her will. But there's no evidence of that necessarily. It's just they're found together. And so what he has to do is he has to make good on his actions. He has to make good on his actions by paying the father and by not divorcing her. Again, he may not divorce her all of his days. If you take a woman's virginity, then you are pledged to be married to her for all of her life. And then the final one is a man may not take his father's wife. And this is, if you're familiar with the New Testament and 1 Corinthians, you know that they had a situation in their church where they were actually allowing this to go uncorrected and undisciplined and like accepted that a man was sleeping with his father's wife. And that's completely unacceptable. It's just not right. we may look at some of these and we may think, oh, this is so old-fashioned, this is so outdated, what does it have to do with us? We're living in the year 2022 in America, in a very Western liberated culture. Well, I'll just say our liberated culture has had some pretty direly disastrous consequences for humanity, for men and for women and for sexual intimacy and for marriage. Ever since we decided that sex doesn't need to take place in the context of marriage, or that sex, even if it leads to the production of a baby, you don't have to keep that baby, or you can just prevent that from happening. So in the 20th century, we saw proliferation of premarital sex, extramarital sex, birth control, and abortion, all of these things as part of the sexual revolution, right, and the liberation of people. And that has had disastrous consequences. Around the world, hundreds of millions of innocent babies have been killed, but women are left devalued because really for a woman to be in a culture where sex only takes place in the context of marriage means she can't be exploited and used and discarded. She's going to be treasured and taken care of because the man's going to be making a commitment to her. This having a commitment of marriage be the place where sexual relations between a man and a woman take place and where a child is brought into the world, that is the best for everyone. That is how God created us, and that is how human beings thrive. And this, where do we see Christ in this passage? Well, we see Christ in this passage because Christ is the bridegroom, and his church is the bride. And he is faithful to us. He has committed to us in the strongest possible way. He has laid down his life to make us his own, paying the highest bride price and making an absolute commitment to us. And the Bible says that when we commit idolatry or we go after the things of the world, we are committing spiritual adultery. And so we need to realize that faithlessness to Christ, either in the form of idolatry or worldliness, which is really just another form of idolatry, is spiritual adultery. And it's horribly wrong. It's vile. And it should be rejected from our lives. Christ has been faithful to us. We should be faithful to Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit, because he is our bridegroom and we are his bride, and we are made one by the Holy Spirit, one forever, and we can rejoice in that, and we should be committed to that. And we should be committed to seeing our marriages be more and more a picture of that in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your unfailing commitment to your people, which is strong. Your love is stronger than death, and we thank you for that. Help us to be faithful to you, and help us to be faithful to treating others the way you would have us do so, so that we can be salt and light in this world. For your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that is Deuteronomy chapter 22. I hope it was insightful to you, and I hope you can join me again tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.